Welcome to Positively Autistic, Autism, God's Bright Kids. Here on this radio show, you will find encouragement in the midst of the challenge of autism. We will share stories of how God works in the midst of those affected by autism, as well as how He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Because there is hope, there is life, there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism. And here is your host, Dana Susan Beasley.
I am your host, Dana Susan Beasley, and welcome to Autism, God's Bright Kids. It's Monday, October 31st, and I recorded this show from my home in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where we are experiencing gorgeous, gorgeous weather. Love this fall. But I know the snow is right around the corner. In fact, today, Halloween is usually the first time we experience snow, but I don't think that's going to happen this year. So anyway, today I'm going to share with you about math. The setbacks, the successes, the hardships that we've experienced, I'm going to share with you many tools that I have found that might be able to help you if you have a struggling learner like we do. And I hope you find this helpful. This is an area that we have struggled in ever since we began our schooling journey. So I'm going to be sharing with you what I have learned along the way and give you some helpful tips that hopefully will give you some encouragement. And then let me just first give you a little update. I've been gone a long time because first, we started out the fall by me being sick, and that didn't help matters. And then just life took over, being super busy, starting the transition into high school, which has been difficult, trying to start a homeschool co-op, which has been pretty challenging. And then the latest thing is that we went down to Albuquerque a couple of weeks ago to go to my nephew's wedding, and my nephew, Jacob, is the one who recorded the wonderful intro, the voiceovers for me, and he also played the music that's in the intro and the breaks. So we had a fantastic time, but we almost didn't make it because the fuel pump went out in our new-to-us car. We were almost stuck in the Santa Fe Mountains, but literally with prayer, we managed to get to my nephew's wedding just on time. In fact, we were even earlier than expected, and my nephew so appreciated it, and he's doing incredibly well. For those who have listened to this show for a while, my nephew has schizophrenia, and so to watch him change and be transformed is such a relief and such a joy, and knowing that I had a significant part in that because he lived with us for 10 months is even more joyous. And Sam, our son, is very close to his cousins, so it was a great, rewarding time. The thing was, we got stuck in Albuquerque because, like I said, our fuel pump went out. So we were, that day on Monday that I was supposed to do the show, we were having our fuel pump replaced, and we came back Tuesday, and Sam drove all the way from Santa Fe, that rhymed, to Alamosa on 285, and he had a fantastic time driving. He did really good. He does great, great driving. So it's been kind of a topsy-turvy thing, and oh, and then last Monday was my birthday, and again, we had car problems on Saturday. We had car problems on the 22nd, and it turned out to be just a bolt on the caliper, and so it was relatively easy to fix, but that just really ruined the whole weekend, and so I was pretty tied up with my birthday and recovering from that. So here I am, trying to get back into the flow of things, trying to get back into the show, and I kept having it in the back of my mind that I wanted to talk about math, because this is something that we really struggle with. And let me just first preface this with my belief that, first of all, before you try to handle something like math, you have to find out and solve the problem that's behind it. And often the problem behind something like math is a brain communication problem. I know that with Sam, his brain does not communicate from the left brain to the right brain. And so he therefore has a hard time seeing numbers in the parts. He sees things in a whole, which is also a function of his learning style, which is visual. And that's the other thing that you have to keep in mind, is what is their learning style? Is it auditory, visual, kinesthetic? Very, very important foundations to know before you try to solve this problem. So, as a result, therapy, like occupational therapy, movement therapy, sensory therapy, brain therapy, like brain integration therapy, is so, so important. It's something that I lose sight of it, and I get so wrapped up in, oh, gotta get this thing off my list, that I forget, no, first we have to do these exercises. And it's very, very important, because their brains are going to function a lot better if that need is met. And the other thing is that, unfortunately, our society, the American society anyway, has pushed academics at a younger and younger age. And there are proven milestones that kind of dictate when a child is ready to tackle abstract thoughts. And so with all this rush to do academia, we've left out the concrete ways of doing math. And then, of course, there's Common Core, which some people say it helps, but the majority of people I've known have said it actually hurts. So those are some of the things before the math. And then the most important thing of all is to not let guilt and fear run your day-to-day homeschooling, or, you know, if you're to have your child in a regular school. There is no such thing as behind. They will master it when the time is right. You just have to give them the tools to help them to be successful. So that's kind of some of our experience. And before I go on, I'm going to go to a commercial break and start explaining kind of our journey and some of the tools that we've used that we found successful and that we have not found successful. So I will be back in 2 shakes of a tail feather. Okay, bye. Autism. We hear about it more and more. To families and individuals, it can be devastatingly hard. What can we do to help? And if you are affected by autism, how can you find hope? Hi, I'm Dana Susan Beasley, and I am the publisher of an upcoming book, Angels in the Midst, Rising Above Autism and Asperger's. I understand about autism, as my son and husband have Asperger's. It is challenging, but I also know that God can work in the midst of these challenges. God can use ordinary people to bring hope to those facing this challenge. But I need your help. I need your stories, your artwork, poetry, and videos, especially from autistic children. I need sponsors, and I am looking for worthy organizations to donate a portion of the proceeds to. Come along with me on this journey. Join me and get involved at riseaboveautistic.com. Again, riseaboveautistic.com. There is hope, there is life, and there is love, even and especially in the midst of autism. is Susan Beasley, and you're listening to Autism, God's Bright Kids. And before I move on to the story of our math journey and some helpful tools, I just want to give a shout out to Positively Autistic for giving me this opportunity to have this radio show and for being patient with me, as this month has been crazy, to say the least. And I also want to give a shout out to my sponsors. Very, very important people to me, and I could not have done this without them. And I just want to give a shout out to Kelly Thomason with Plexus, and you can find her link on my website, riseaboveautistic.com. And then I want to give a shout out to Clorinda Ollensager with Young Living Essential Oils, and you can reach her at anointingthefamily.com. And again, this is also my website, riseaboveautistic.com. And then the Ashy's Gift Series, and that website is ashysgift.com. That's a delightful series of children's books, and Christmas is right around the corner, believe it or not. So this would make a fantastic Christmas gift. So please check that out at riseaboveautistic.com. And as far as this vision I have of creating, well, it's really more of what it is is an anthology, a collection of stories and artwork. It involves having artwork and stories submitted by kids and adults with autism, or those who are affected by autism, and the whole idea is to encourage those who are challenged by this. And if you go to my website, riseaboveautistic.com, you'll find that I have a little help wanted ad or blurb, and I can't do this all alone. If you've listened to me for any amount of time, you know that I have quite a lot on my plate. I have a son who's 15 who has Asperger's, and I homeschool. I have my husband who also probably has Asperger's, and I help him with his business. I have my own business, and I have continual health problems that I am trying desperately to solve so I can function better, so I could do more. So, all that to say that I can't do this alone, and I want to be able to help people, but I need help myself. And the way I need help is somebody who could come alongside me, who could look at this as a career opportunity to do project management and sales. So if you know of anyone who is interested, please have them email info@angelarts.biz, or again, go to my website, riseaboveautistic.com. So enough about that. Now let me get back to our journey. So for us, the school journey, of course, happened in a private school, and it was a lot of worksheets, and it was painful. We used to spend hours crying, and that was just homework. And one time, we even lost the packet of math worksheets, and we had to do it all over again. Oh my gosh. But these worksheets were horrid, and my son just couldn't get it. And at first, I thought it was behavioral. But as the first grade wore on, I realized that it was not. It was the fact that he had a different learning style, and these worksheets were not. Worksheets were not working. Excuse me, I have to take a sip of water. So anyway, it was very, very painful, especially the math. This was in first grade. So I decided to homeschool, and that was the spring of that year when he was in first grade that I decided to homeschool, mainly because I reached my breaking point with the fact that the school had my son do the Iowa skills test at first grade and acted like it was the end of the world, that he didn't do well in it. That was mostly due to dysgraphia, which I found out later that he had. I didn't know it at the time. But anyway, it was that June that I went to a homeschooling conference and I bought my first math curriculum called Math on a Level. And this curriculum, it was pretty new back then. It does not have grades, and I like that. It goes through pre-algebra. It's very much hands-on based, and it had the operations. It has several books: operations, fractions, money, geometry, and then it has a whole book on hands-on activities like how to use math in cooking, how to use it with games, that kind of thing. And it seemed to work really well at first. They have this thing where you do five math problems a day, and it shows you how to use kind of an approach so that they review the past lessons, but you're not doing them constantly. So it's a very good curriculum. We'll use it through pre-algebra, and I've been using it off and on for years. But then the next homeschooling conference I went to a year later or 2 years later, I got really intrigued with something called Right Start Mathematics. And the reason why I got intrigued by it is because the speaker said that it was the Konos of math. And Konos is a unit study, and that's really the main curriculum that we have done since second grade. It's a great hands-on course of study, and I love it. And the idea that Right Start Mathematics was the Konos of mathematics was so appealing to me, and so I bought it all. And the day that the package arrived, I put it on the kitchen table, and I put all this stuff out, like it has this balance beam and abacus and all these really fun manipulatives. And I was laughing to myself when Sam was like, "Oh, I want to play with this." And he had fun at first, and it went well at first for a while, but it got to be more and more complicated to us anyway, and so I went back to Math on the Level. In the meantime, I have tried so many things, because the deal is, he did get addition really well. He can add very good, and he can do borrowing and or carrying and all that stuff. But subtraction and multiplication and therefore division is a bit harder for him. He has not memorized his multiplication tables yet. But the thing with addition that I did that was really fun is I made an addition table on a shower curtain, just I gotta take another sip of water. With a marker, a permanent marker, a very, very large addition table. And I hung up the addition table outside. I blew up some balloons. I put them on some of the numbers, and then Sam took his airsoft gun and I read out the facts. And so he went pop, 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 pop. And that's how he did his math. And it was really fun and exciting. So that really worked well for an addition table. Completely off the wall, out of the box solution. And you can actually, I think I've heard that they sell those kinds of things on shower curtains now. I made it myself, and it was really, really good. So, and then there are other things, like when you recite math facts, have them jump on a trampoline or do it to a metronome. There's something about that regular beat that helps it reinforce that in their brains. So that's something also to keep in mind. Or take a math fact, put it on like a construction paper, like something that big and colorful and bright, and then have them jump to it. So say the math fact and have them jump. That gets the kinesthetic action going on. So those are some of the things that you can do when they're little that will actively engage their thought process and get their brain to integrate more, especially with someone who, a child who has a hard time sitting still. I know that my sister-in-law, who is a veteran homeschooler, she graduated 5 kids from homeschool. She is now, quote, retired, although I don't think you ever retire. But anyway, her son was so active that he would do a problem, then he'd run all the way around the house, then he'd come in and do a problem, then run all the way around the house. So don't think that you have to have a child sit there for half an hour to an hour to get this work done. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And having your child sit on a ball, on an exercise ball, that is very, very handy. Having your child stand up. In fact, it's been proven that boys learn better standing up. So if you have a boy, you might want to consider that. And then again, reciting these facts, doing something like jumping on a trampoline or doing it to a metronome. So those are just some of the ideas there that could help. I have employed some of those. They have helped a lot with addition. So after a while with Right Start, about a year, the Right Start started to dissipate in its appeal. And I, like I said, I moved back on to math on the level, and I've tried a whole lot of things since. Pretty much I Googled right-brained math, and I came up with a curriculum called Right Brain Math. It's called a Right Brain Math, a fun, easy, visual approach to math. And that's how we did a lot of the multiplication tables. It has a lot of different, it's a very, very unique visual way of doing the multiplication tables, completely different. So that could work for some. It includes number circles, tic-tac squares, and it helps them, for the kids, to see patterns. And that you can find on Amazon. I believe that's where I got my copy. And so you can look for that. And then there's a free YouTube video. I know there's a paid component called Math Antics. That seems pretty good. I've used some of that. And let's see. Games. Probably games has worked the best. We've played a lot of Math War, both addition and multiplication. Right Start, one of the great things about Right Start is that it has a whole book on games and a bunch of different cards just for these math games. And I will tell you, games is what actually I learned to add by playing poker. That was what we did as a pastime when I was growing up. So it is a very valuable way to learn, and real life situations like cooking, not to be overlooked. So important to get your child involved in cooking, get them measuring and weighing and all of that stuff. Money, that's incredibly important. Have them go to the store with you. In fact, now that Sam is 15, he has his own checking account, and I gave him one of those old-fashioned checkbook registers, and I'm helping him to keep track of his money the old-fashioned way, without a computer. Now, eventually, I will have him learn on Excel. I think that's also a very important skill to learn, is to use a spreadsheet and set up the spreadsheet to do the math for you. I think that's very important, a great life skill that I will teach him. So, some of the other things that I have used to moderate success that could be valuable, wrap-ups. There's something called wrap-ups. It's spelled WRAP-UPS. You can find that on Amazon. They have addition, multiplication, they have subtraction, division. They even have some history, like learning the states and capitals and so forth. And what that is, it's a plastic group of keys. They look like keys with a string. And it's kind of like a puzzle. And there's a system that the wrap-ups comes with to help a child learn the tables, learn the facts, whether it's addition or multiplication. So that's really good. Unfortunately, it didn't. Sam couldn't quite connect what he was doing with the math somehow. And then some of the other things that we've tried, like Diane Kraft has a visual set of math stories, and they're highly colorful, and they all tell a story, and on the back is a story. Well, the thing was with Sam is that, again, the story made no sense to him in real life. They made no sense to him whatsoever. But I know that that worked for one of my nephews. And then there's Times Tales. And again, it's the idea of telling a story with the facts. And I know that it worked for a niece of mine, but again, it didn't work with my son, because he just could not grasp the connection with that and real life. I just don't, it just didn't connect with him, is the best way to put it. And then I also tried Brainetics, and so far I have not found that to be helpful. I think that you need to know the facts better before you can use Brainetics. Maybe in the future it might help, but right now, with him not knowing the multiplication facts, that really, I can't say, has worked. And then there is another thing that has helped called Moving with Math. I happened to have picked that up at a thrift store, and it has a lot of manipulatives. In fact, using the manipulatives, like there's a cube for 1,000, there's 10, there's like a block for 1,000, and there's 100, and all these things, and tens and ones, they're all based on cubes, and they're all put together based on how many there are, and that does work. It does take a lot of practice, but that's a great way to start. Also, found an abacus to be very helpful. That was a great way to start math. And then using what's called a whole parts chart, like you put a big circle on top and you put the answer to the problem, like say if you was doing an addition problem and the answer was 10, and you put a 10 in the big circle, and then branching off from the bottom of that circle in two directions, you would put two smaller circles, and say in one you had 5 and the other circle beside it would be 5. So it's showing the equation of 5 plus 5 equals 10. And then Right Start Math had this great, I really like it. It's this tool that looks like a balance scale, and you basically do equations on each side of it. And they have a whole bunch of geometry stuff, fraction stuff, really good, really, really good manipulative stuff. And that kind of was the same idea with Moving with Math. And then through a friend, I got something called the Hands-On Equations Learning Systems, and that is quite old, but when Sam is ready to handle algebra, I think that's going to be very, very key. It's extremely hands-on and visual. So those are just some of the things that we've used, and I'm just trying to think what else has helped. It's been, like I said, that's been the hardest subject that we have, is math. And so I've had to be pretty inventive. One of the things that I did recently is I created a multiplication table, and I put it on a large poster board, and I had Sam help me. He wrote all the numbers, and my husband, like, laid out all the squares, because I am spatially challenged, and I can't think through that. So my husband helped me with that. And then Sam wrote in all the numbers. And then he colored them in, and we used several different colors using markers, like we used magenta and blue and green and all these orange and red and all these varying colors. So it's very large, this whole chart. And then we taped it on his desk, and I made little cards that go in it. For instance, like the nines, they're all red, and I made red cards that are the shape, the same size as these little squares, that say things like 9 times 3, 9 times 2, 9 times 1, etc. So I made cards for the whole chart, and they're all color coded. So what he does is that every day he's been doing a new number. He started on the outer one with the easy ones, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., and he'll end with the hard ones. And the harder they get, the smaller amount of numbers they are. And since this is so visual, it's hard to describe. So what I'm going to do is take a picture of this system and put it on my Pinterest, because it's way too hard to describe it on an audio. But he seems to really like this idea, and he's willing to do it. And so I'm going to make it harder for him when we finish the first part, and I'm going to mix and match the numbers. And then I made another number set that had the division problem on the back of it. So we're going to use it for division also. So I'm really looking forward to that. That seems to have been a real help. And then we just continue to do math on a level and working on the multiplication with the trading or carrying, which is a lot harder for him to grasp. So we're just doing the manipulatives over and over again. And he, like, we used money the last time just so we could just get it reinforced in his brain. And then another thing that I did that might be helpful, or he seemed to like, was I made this wheel. And instead of it being a square-like thing, I made it into a circle, like a pie. Like, for instance, say the factor was 2. I would, in the center, like a hub, I would put the number 2. And then on the outside of this pie would be all the other factors, like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, on the so forth. And then on the outside rim, there are basically 3 levels of this circle. On the outside rim is blank, and he has to give the answers. So he seemed to like that okay, and we'll be using that. And again, it's way, way, way too complicated to describe visually or on an audio, so I will try to get that up on Pinterest, because it's just too hard to see. So those are some of the ideas we've used, some resources. One of the best resource I can think of is Carol Barnier. She has some incredible books that have very hands-on kinesthetic approaches, very out of the box. I love those. Again, things like jumping from a page, my brain is just not working on the one who needs brain therapy, apparently. But, jumping from one fact to another on a piece of paper. Or, like, doing the game. Oh, boy, my brain is so hurting. What's that game you play? Okay, brain is really, really hurting. So I'll come to that in a minute. But just playing these games and card games. Don't ever forget that. There are games that are sold that helps. We tried this one. I think it was called Prime Factor or something like that. We didn't find that terribly helpful. It was way too complicated, so watch out for that. Or just simply keeping score, playing a game like Scrabble or any game really where you have to keep score really helps a lot. So things like that, try that out. Make it a regular part of your day. Don't ever feel like, oh, you're playing games and therefore you're not doing anything. No. It's extremely, extremely important. In fact, I was looking at Kirklik today, and I saw something interesting. I put it on my wish list. See if I can find this for you. But I was looking under a subject heading called dyscalculia, and I don't really know much about it, but that's something that you might check into to see if your child has dyscalculia. But in that subheading, I found an interesting curriculum I might try it out called Multiplication Math Vocabulary Trading Cards. And the subheading is From Fun to Teach, and that looked like a bunch of games. And it's only like $5.95, and it's a PDF. So you can find some interesting resources on Kirklik, on Amazon, or just Google right brain math or right brain learning or kinesthetic learning. Another really, really fun thing to do with little kids is to have a pretend store. So you get a cash register and, you know, one of those play cash registers. We used to do this when my son was little. And just price things, you know, put little sticky notes with prices ranging from 5 cents or whatever, and pretend that you're in a store. Little kids love that. Play like that is so important, and that is one thing that our society has really gotten away from, and it's not good, is imaginative play. So don't ever discount something like that. So those, in a nutshell, is what I would suggest that you do. And again, also, don't forget the role that exercise plays in this. There's another resource out there called Autism Fitness that we've tried. Some of it's a little bit complicated. And the thing that stops us is that you need a rope. So, you know, if you're not prepared to invest in that, maybe not. But there is a lot out there with exercise, and that I would say is the foundation, because it's not the subject itself so much, is what's behind them not being able to function in their brains. That's important. So, and the other thing is that you want to limit the time in math, especially when they're little, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour max. And, yeah, that's what you want to do. So, math. It's a hard subject for some, but then there's others that excel in it. But that's my experience, and I hope that helps you. So, that's all that I'm going to say tonight, because, well, I'm recording this at night because my son just came back from youth group. And this is my time to record the show. But I hope that you've enjoyed that. I hope you find that helpful. And again, check out my Pinterest, and you can search for Angel Arts to find my boards. And it's under the board autism stack of stuff. So I hope that helps, and I will check in with you next time. Bye!